2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 is where we are, if you would look. Paul, speaking to Timothy about his personal life, said, "Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor, some to dishonor. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these," notice he's not talking about regular vessels, he's talking about the vessels of our lives. "Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things," or the latter, that is, the unclean vessels, "he will be a vessel for honor," or she, "sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work." There was a man who was traveled the nation a lot, and he was accustomed to visiting one particular general store that was in a rural area of our nation. And as he passed through there on his monthly or yearly travels, he would always stop at this general store, pick up a bottle of Coke or something to eat, and got to know over the years the owner of the store and a particular clerk that worked in the store. This one particular clerk that worked there was a man by the name of Jake. And Jake, according to this man's testimony, was among the most lazy people he had ever encountered. Jake wouldn't do a thing for you. You came into his store, you asked him for something, he would say, "I don't know." And you'd expect, well, he's going to come out and find it. No, he wouldn't. And if he said, "Oh, I'll check over there on that aisle, maybe it's over there," sometimes you'd come in the store and the bell would jingle at the door and Jake would be the only one there. Jake wouldn't even bother to come up to the front of the store to see if you were doing okay. He didn't even bother. Jake was just plain lazy. Over the years, every time, Jake was inconsistent, if you will. One year he went in there, there was no Jake. And the proprietor of the store was there. He said, "Hey, what's up with Jake? Where's Jake? I hadn't seen him." He said, "Jake retired." He said, "Really?" He said, "Well, what have you done to fill the vacancy that Jake left?" And he said, the man pondered for a second, and then he smiled at him, he said, with a silver grin, and he said, "Jake didn't leave no vacancy." Are you going to leave a vacancy when you're gone? Or I should say, what sort of vacancy? What sort of vacancy, when you're out of here, is going to be left in your community, in your church? What is it going to matter when you're gone? It's going to matter to you, I can assure you of that, that there would have been or should have been a vacancy. There is no thrill like the thrill of being used by God. There's nothing that compares to it. Absolutely nothing. Nothing even remotely approaches the excitement and satisfaction of knowing that you are an instrument in the hands of God. There's nothing, absolutely nothing on the planet like it. To be used of God for something that He wanted to do. And the good news about it all is that you and I, every one of us, potentially are useful. No exceptions. What we have here in front of us is a passage of Scripture in which Paul describes for us, he reveals to us, the kind of person God uses. I would submit to you, the kind of person that you want to be, useful in the hands of the Master. Now, common wisdom would say, well, useful people are gifted people. They're talented people, and it's not that God didn't use those kind of people, but I want you to notice gifts and talents are not mentioned in this passage. They're not here. Why? Because they're not the main show. Gifts and talents are great, but ultimately, if in the wrong hands or the wrong circumstance, they can go the opposite direction. Certainly you and I can think of people who are in the ministry and very gifted in recent years who, with although the giftedness, because they were not cleansed, they were actually not just used, but they were used for the wrong stuff, the wrong direction. So it's not the main show. Also, common wisdom would say, well, it's the educated. It's the people that know the most about the Bible and who have been to seminary. And I'm not knocking those things. You need to know those things. You need to know what your Bible says. But notice, it's not mentioned here. And notice what the Scripture describes us as, a vessel. A vessel doesn't have an education, does it? I mean, is giftedness and education significant to the performance of a vessel? Bottom line, no. Clean, that's the issue. Give me a clean vessel, God would say. That one I can use. I don't care how pretty it is. If it's dirty, it makes no difference. Simple message of our text is that God uses cleansed people. God uses cleansed people, nobody else. Let's take a look at what this says. There in verse 20 it says, Paul says, in a large house. What house is he speaking of? I read some commentaries that took this a little out of context. They interpreted it to mean the house of the whole world. The whole house, and some are useful and some are not useful in the planet. And even though maybe you can make that application in a secondary sense, the primary sense of the passage is described for us there in verse 19, if you would look. Speaking of the house, Paul says, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands. It's not speaking of the world. Speaking of God's house, His people, His church. The solid foundation of God stands firm, sealed with this inscription. It says, the Lord knows those who are His, in quotation marks. And then again in quotation marks. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. And then he describes how we're to abstain. And he gives this illustration here of the vessels. And so, just so you understand, our particular passage here in verses 20 and 21 is referring exclusively to the church. So in the church, listen, there are clean and unclean. There are useful and not so useful. There are vessels that are for serving and for usefulness to the master, and there are vessels, born-again Christians, who aren't. They're not presentable because they're not clean. Thing to take home, or several, there's a lot of things here. Don't think I'm done. Here's something to start with, at least. God's house, there are all kinds of vessels, but they're broken into two groups. The presentable and the unpresentable. Which are you? The clean and the unclean. The vessels that are used for good stuff, and the vessels that are used, mind you, used, but for not so good stuff. Which one are you? You have the same differentiation, by the way, in your own house. Think about it. You have utensils. You have vessels that you eat off of, that you use, that you serve with, that you even present. I mean, we have a china cabinet in our house that has, my wife maybe put lights in there so that they shine down on their neither expensive things. They're nice. These are the presentable utensils. These are the good stuff, if you will. The things that we use, we keep them clean. We use them. You have the same differentiation. You have the stuff that you use for the good stuff, and you have the stuff that you use, but it's for the bad stuff. Where's your garbage can in your house right now? Is it sitting on your table? Is it sitting by the front door? Do you just keep a big old can out in the kitchen with a plastic bag around it? Is that what you do? Where do you keep your garbage can? You walk into our house, you won't know where our garbage can is because we have it in this nice decorated box there. People come around and say, where's your garbage? Well, it's right there. You got to lift the lid. Okay, well, there's the trash can. A lot of us keep our trash can underneath the sink. Why is that? Because it's unpresentable. It's dirty. It's used for dirty stuff. Where do you keep your bedpan, by the way? Oh, you don't have one, you say. If you did, where would it be? Hung on the front door? Would you buy a china cabinet that had big shelves and put your bedpan collection in there? Would you do that? No. Why? Well, it's dirty stuff. It's a utensil, but it's dirty. And here's the second thing to take home with you. All vessels, all utensils in God's house get used. When you say, well, then what's the motivation? Begs the question, why should I change if I live in my life however I want to, even though God disagrees with it, I still get used? Then what's the big deal? Why even preach this, Paul? Well, here's why. You don't want to be used for the bad stuff. You don't want to. You missed his whole point here. You don't want to be used for the not so good stuff and the unpresentable stuff, or like the sign on someone's desk that read, it may be that my whole purpose in life is to serve as a warning for others. You don't want to be that. You don't want that. You don't want to, listen, you don't want to end your life, stand before God, and that be the sign on your life. This is the way a child of God, bought with the blood of the Son of God, is not to live. You don't want that. That's why Paul is saying this to Timothy. Timothy, you don't want this. You want to be presentable. You want to be useful. You want to stand before God and say, I did something with what you gave me. I mattered. When I left, there was a true, indeed a vacancy. because I did something for you. I served you. I let you use me in a way that you wanted to, as the master of the house, me submitting myself to being a vessel. So understand, all vessels get used. You just need to determine how you're going to get used. Again, the bottom line is God will not use dirty lives to serve up the good news of His Son, Jesus Christ. He simply will not do it. He simply will not do it. And I don't care who you are and what you know about the Bible or how gifted you are. It makes absolutely no difference if you're not clean. Absolutely no difference. You will not be used. And you will wish you would have been. I can assure you of that. Three things for us to take to heart concerning this fact that God uses clean vessels. First of all, you must choose the type of vessel you will be. You must choose. You make the choice. And I say that strongly because of this. We live in a society that says we're a victim of circumstances. My mom and dad, my environment, my situation, I messed up too early too much, there's no way I can change, I'm in a rut. The Bible says the exact opposite. What you are right now is what you've chosen to be. And you have the authority and ability to change your situation. And don't let anybody, especially the devil, lie to you. Because it is a lie. Don't lie to yourself. That's the worst person to lie to. And don't take lies from anybody else. Who you are, you can change because you're in Christ. The person who's not in Christ has no choice. They don't have a battle. They're not battling and fighting with emotional and spiritual things because they're totally given over to sin. They're of the enemy. They can't do anything but the enemy. They serve him. They don't have a choice in that. A Christian, though, has a battle. You have an old nature who you used to be and a new nature created in Christ Jesus for good works. You have to decide every day who you're going to be. It's just not that, it's not easy. If you're looking for easy, you should have stayed lost. Because it just goes, it's like autopilot, man, just straight on to hell. There's nothing to do. You don't even have to think. As a Christian, though, you're going to have to be on your toes, at your job, working hard, paying attention, or else you could wind up being not so useful. So first of all, we must choose the type of vessel we will be. You know, it's interesting, horrifying. We were all horrified at the devastation of hurricanes in the past several years, in particular Hurricane Katrina that devastated, I mean, tens of thousands of people lost absolutely everything. Water over the top of their roof, right? Just horrible. Just really bad. Not only that, tens of thousands lost everything. Thousands lost their lives. I mean, it was just really, really bad. You know, education for me, maybe all of you knew this, but I didn't know that New Orleans was majority below sea level. Think about that for a second. One of the largest cities, certainly one of the largest ports in our nation, the vast majority of the people that live in that place to this day live below sea level. And not a couple of feet. We live in a place, your feet right now are 6 feet above sea level, just so you know, in case the tide gets high. You know how where you are. That's low. That's too low. That's about as low as you could possibly stand it. Who in their right mind would build below sea level? Not just a couple of feet, by the way. 14 feet, some of these subdivisions. Some of the newer ones. You understand that the people who live there at least by and large by choice. And they live there with a calculated risk. Now, not to say that we shouldn't have a heart for them, not to say that we shouldn't help them, but you understand when you put yourself in that kind of situation, you are setting yourself up an opportunity at least to be totally devastated. They don't just live 14 feet below sea level. By the way, you can get that and go to Death Valley. It doesn't rain over there. I'd recommend that if you're going to live below sea level, go over there. But if you're going to live in a floodplain in a bowl 14 feet below sea level, then you should expect an eventuality of disaster and destruction, right? You should expect that. The Bible says, essentially, that the people of this world are living below spiritual sea level. And that one day, assuredly, there's coming a storm that will swallow them all. The only hope that we have is to place our faith on the single Savior, Jesus Christ, and through Him have redemption that brings us into a relationship with God through which we can be rescued. That's, Jesus gave the example. He says, the man that listens to His voice and honors Him is like a man who builds his house on the rock. Everybody else is on the sand, below sea level. We build our lives upon the rock. So when I come to faith in Jesus Christ, my eternity is on this rock, which cannot be moved. It's not because I'm a good guy. It's because the rock is strong that I'm in there, right? My eternity is sealed. So it's sealed because of the rock. But so many times we Christians, even though our eternity is sealed because our lives is on the rock, we still build our eternity, if you will, is on the rock. But our temporary, we're still building below sea level. My day in and day out stuff, below sea level. Below what God wants. Below sea level, I'm still acting and thinking and speaking and doing things that are below sea level. I'm inviting disaster, am I not? At the very least, I'm inviting the inevitability of it all being washed away when I stand before Him someday and He says, what good was it for me to leave you there after you accepted my Son? You're going to have to answer that question someday. I hope you realize that. I hope you didn't buy into the whole thing of we're not going to be judged as Christians bit. Because it simply isn't true. No, you're not going to be judged for sin. My goodness, Christ was judged on the cross. Don't you think it was bad enough for Him? It was judged completely. But for your life and what you've done in Christ, it will be judged. Every second, every penny, every opportunity, you will answer for those things. The Bible's extremely clear on that subject. So if I'm taking these things and I'm building below sea level, I should expect something, or I should expect something not to happen. That is to be used by God in this life in the way God wants me to use. We have a choice in our lives, and it will matter. You may say, well, it doesn't feel good today. I just don't, you know, I know that you're right, Pastor Bill, but something about, you know, I just don't have it in me. It's just not stirring in me to just do something about my situation. Well, I'm telling you, there's going to come a day in which you wish you would have. You're going to wish you had. So learn to want it today is my suggestion. So number one, you must choose the type of vessel you will be. Number two, cleansing is your responsibility. I have a lot of people who come, not a lot, I've had some people come to me and say, I've got this bad habit, I've got this problem, I've got this sin issue. Would you pray with me that God would change it? And I do, and I will. And I certainly think there's an intervention on the part of God, but I wonder sometimes, in fact I've seen it, they just simply want to write it all off to God. I mean, they just want to sit here and say, okay, God, just drop something on me and totally change my life. Well, you might not like what He drops on you, brother. You might not like it. God is not going to do something for you, listen to me, that He has commanded for you to do. Notice what again what it says in verse 21. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself, it's to you. It's to you. Again, the cleansing that we have in Christ Jesus is a sense in which I am totally cleansed because I'm just as acceptable today as I ever will be into the presence of God. Because of Christ. Because of what He's done. Because His works don't change it. His righteousness doesn't shift. And so Bill's good days and bad days don't affect my eternity at all. Praise God. They don't. But my day in and day out stuff, I do need to be cleansed from. My mistakes and my shortcomings and my failures, I do need to be cleansed from. It's as if I've had a bath, but my hands get dirty. Well, you wash your hands, don't you? And like the illustration we have here with the soap, it's not that God is lacking. We're lacking in provision of soap either. But you've got to apply it. You've got to take hold of it. Cleansing is your responsibility. You're going to have to come and say, God, I've messed up, and call it exactly what He calls it. If He calls it sin, you call it sin. He calls it wrong, you call it wrong. And then, next step, you turn away from it. Again, God's not going to do something for you that He has commanded you to do. It says this in many places. 2 Corinthians 7:1 is a good one. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It is our responsibility. It is our responsibility. Don't get caught up in a pity party of I can't get out of it. You've been provided the means. Why would He command you to do something you can't do? He hasn't. So number one, you must choose the type of vessel you will be. Cleansing, number two, is your responsibility. And then finally, cleansing makes you useful to the Master, prepared for any good work. You'll be ready. See, the reason why I get cleansed is not because I get just an overwhelming feeling over all it does, it feel good. does, there is a feeling to it, but that's not the big issue. The big issue is that when an opportunity comes, I'll be ready. Ever been in a situation where you weren't just quite on your toes, Christian, spiritually speaking, and an opportunity came for ministry? How'd you do? A little bit bad mood maybe that day or something, and a brother or sister immediately shows up that needs encouragement. Not ready, you see. A little angry, and an opportunity to bear witness for Christ comes up. How'd you do? The other day I was waiting for a phone call most of the day on my cell phone. Call didn't come. Spent the day at the office. Day was over. I went home. We were going to be eating shrimp that night. I'm the official shrimp peeler. I'm peeling shrimp. Got my hands all. I've got an apron on. Peeling shrimp. My phone rings. The phone call that I wanted. And I got this shrimp juice all over my hands. I can't, you can't answer the phone with your elbow or with your leg or something. I was stuck. Now, the good news is I got to call him back. But the bottom line, when the opportunity came, I missed it. Now, that's, who cares about that? But the big deal is, spiritually speaking, it happens to a lot of us. Our hands are dirty, doing stuff. And what we don't realize is God has got opportunities coming. He's funneling our way. But when our hands are not clean, He can't use us. We're not available. Or we're not clean and can't be used. We're in the dishwasher, but the cycle hasn't started yet. We won't turn it on. Turn on the dishwasher, God. Clean that. He's already done it. Now you gotta work to keep your hands and your feet clean. Are you clean today? Are you ready today, right now, to be used by Him? Are you prepared? Are you a vessel that God can use? Are you? I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. And with your eyes closed, your head bowed, I want you just to take a few moments of reflection before God concerning the things that I've said to you this morning, the things He's spoken to you. Are you clean this morning? Is there something that the Almighty God would come this morning and put His finger on in your life and say, that needs to go? That needs to change. That is the issue, the circumstance, the person, the place I have been trying to speak to you about. This is the reason why I can't use you. What would that be? Scripture says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need that. We need a hand, feet cleansing on a regular daily basis, a short account with God, so that when the opportunities come to be used to make a difference, to leave a vacancy, if you will, in this life, we don't miss them. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You give us the opportunity to be renewed. I thank You, Lord, that You are faithful to cleanse us, and that we need to be cleansed, and that it is our responsibility. Forgive us, Lord, when we've written it off to You or somebody else. God, help us to take personal responsibility for our lives, to take before You and to call before You what You point out to us, to bring it before You, God, and to get rid of it, to turn our backs on it, to repent of it, as You've given us the power to do all those things, the means and the ability to do all those things, God. May we do them for Your glory. May we do them in a way that You can use us, that we can be useful to You. Lord, we lift our lives up to You. We ask for Your cleansing. We ask for Your preparedness over us. Lord, we pray that we be the kind of people that You can just run stuff in front of because we're ready. We're ready. We're ready to minister, ready to serve, ready to make a difference, ready to be used by You. Thank You, God, for hearing us. Thank You, God, for cleansing us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.